thank you because you have gone ahead of us. And Lord, our prayer today, that same prayer, say, let God arise. Father, we thank you because it is your good pleasure. It is your good pleasure, God, for us to recover all. And we thank you. Say, let God arise and let all his enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're welcome again, brethren. Wonderful to be here this weekend. It is a glorious weekend. The Lord, I hope I'm holding the mic properly. Praise God. The Lord has prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies and our corporate soul. A good time. This time that we all are standing in this time is a very good time. This is a time that we will see the fulfillment of that which all the prophets have prophesied. We are in a good time. And our prayer is that the people of God will arise. Zion will awake. Zion will trim the lamps. And we will trim the lamps that the Lord has given us. And we may see this watch to the end. And indeed, partake of it. Father, we thank you. We bless you, God. Brethren, I believe God is faithful who has called us, who has brought us to this point. The Lord God, He is faithful. And all God asks of us, leave us doubting. God asks of us, the conference is taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. That story of David and his camp. David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. David is a type of you and I. David, at that point, in the book of 1 Samuel, was doing the will of God. He was standing in the will and the purposes of God. And the Philistines, he was living in the land of the Philistines. He actually, if you have time to read the story, the few chapters before that, he wanted to fight with the Philistines, but they didn't want him to fight. But his camp, where his soldiers were, his family, his wives, his children, even his parents were in that camp. The Amalekites overran him. What does it mean to us today? Because if we just read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, the story. What is the Amalekite? See, the Amalekites, we Because we are people that, of course, they like war as well. But they live in valleys. They were valley people. And the reason why they lived in valley, praise God, is because the valley is a very convenient place. Most of the time you find that in valleys, the land is very fertile. There is abundant supply of water. There is a lot of provision in the valley. And so over time, the Amalekites, they've learned to trust in their resources, in their potential, praise the Lord. Praise God. And so, when they came in this place to overrun and overtake the entire land of Israel, and we ask, how does this touch us today? The world we live in today, the type of the world of the Amalekites, the mindset that we have today, in this time, in this dispensation, is the mindset of the Amalekites. Everybody takes decisions based on what is most convenient. We take decisions as even the churches, most churches are located in the place where they would be able to grow very fast. Most people who have ministries locate themselves in a place that they can quickly multiply. And that is the story of the Amalekites. And that is the story of the world today. The leaders, the world leader today, the Americans, they would not get involved in any matter unless there is an advantage to them. Most people will not, even charities will give when they know they will get the maximum attention and publicity. Then they will receive the best accolade. Today we have people on social media, and they will say, like my page, like my blog, because the more people that like it, the more I get the attention. And but what happens underneath of this, brethren, for the people of God, is that if I write something that people should like, most of the time I have to write it in a way that they would like, not the way God wants it to be. It was said of the Lord Jesus Christ, said that that generation will reject him. The gospel that we preach is a gospel that the world does not like. But when we calibrate that gospel to fit, we join the Amalekites. And so, David's camp was overrun. His wife was taken. What is the wife? The wife is my soul. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, you allow your woman Jezebel to prophesy, your wife Jezebel. That is the soul. The soul has been taken by the Amalekites. Most of us, if we examine the reason why we do what we are doing, there must be some economic advantage, some advantage to us. Oftentimes, the consideration of God to follow up. We live in a time of the Amalekites. The church has been overrun by the Amalekites. And so we understand why God has brought us to this weekend. Most of us will not start a business unless we do a business plan. And the figures are right. We need the spirit of the Amalekite. I'm not condemning anybody. But it's just to illustrate the place that we are today. Disasters happen around the world, and the response is based on maximum advantage, political leverage. Consideration of the people who are involved is almost irrelevant. Again, an illustration. It's the spirit of the Amalekites. You see, the Amalekites, they are people that toil. They believe in the labor, you know, what they can do, their potential, their capacity. But you know something, brethren? John chapter 6 verse 27 says, labor not for the meat that perishes. I'm sure if we ask for prayer points this evening, say, write some prayer points on a piece of paper and let's bring it. Most of the prayer points will be, help my job. I need a house. I'm having challenges with my boss at work. It's about something on this life, brethren. And the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perishes, for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him as the Lord sealed. Labor not. This weekend, let not your labor, my labor, be that I've come here to encounter so that I can achieve something in this plane. Because if that is my prayer point, it is still of the leading of the Amalekites. The Lord is calling a people unto himself. He's calling a people unto the fullness. And so, when David got back to the camp, Samuel chapter 30, he saw that his camp had been taken, his wife had been taken, even the children had been taken. We find that everything that proceeds out of us is, as it were, given to the Amalekites. It's about this life. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear. May the Lord judge the Amalekites. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of the Amalekite, we judge you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Many wake up every morning, and the thought is about survival. What am I going to do? And the Lord is saying, let the thought be, thy kingdom come, O God. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. David came to the camp, and he realized that everything had been taken, and he was so bad that the followers of David, this was a group of people whom David had nurtured, whom David had walked and fought side by side, they were so frustrated. Bible says that they wanted to stone him. So many times in our hearts, we are so frustrated by the challenges we face. We want to stone the Lord. We complain in our hearts, God, why have you done this? Why have you put me in this marriage? Why have you put me in this job? God, why have you done this to me? They wanted to stone him because of the Amalekites. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he called for the effort, and he was brought to it, and he asked that question which was posted here. It says, and verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover. Three words I want you to remember this weekend. Pursue, overtake, recover. Pursue, overtake, recover. If you do not pursue, you can't overtake. If you do not overtake, you cannot recover. That's why the Bible says, to him that overcometh shall be granted to sit with me on the throne, even as I am sat on the throne of my Father. Pursue, overcome, and recover. We are in a generation now, brethren, where the church does not believe they have to pursue. The church does not believe they have to overtake the spirit of this time. And the church is waiting to recover. Pursue, overtake, and recover. Praise the Lord. It says in so many places, it talks about, in one place it says that follow after righteousness, and you know, pursue. What am I pursuing? What is my pursuit? What is my ambition? This is a question we must again ask in the course of this weekend. Praise the Lord. If I am pursuing this life, chances are that I will receive the skills and the talents to overtake and attain unto this life. And that is why you see that even in the churches, many now prosper. Many are doing well in this life. Because that is the pursuit. Many give so much to a career, and they are sent to the height of that career. They even become noted in that career. To God be the glory. But when will I be noted pertaining to the kingdom of God? When will I be noted concerning this calling, this high calling of God? Has been overrun. It's a time for people to repent. Brother Tokes, does it mean that we should not work? No. Does it mean we should not study? No. Does it mean that we should not attain professional excellence? No. You can do all that. But the challenge that if all that is increasing in my life, and the vision and the purposes of the fullness of God is diminishing, the balance out of place. If I am progressing in these things of this life, and yet excelling in the things pertaining to the fullness of God, praise God. To God be the glory. But if it is just one and not the other, it is the spirit of the Amalekites. This is what God has called us unto, brethren. Hallelujah. And as we are prepared for this meeting, the Lord God, brethren, is business. The word came because of us preparing and praying, you know, for this meeting in another small group. That the meeting, most of those who were in that group are not here tonight, but hopefully they'll be here tomorrow. And the Lord prophetically was very clear. He said, if you come for this meeting, it must mean business. If you do not mean business, do not come. It was a strange word. But as we continue to look at this thing, this word begins to be clearer. If you know that this is not my thing, don't bother. It's not about the number. This is not Amalek. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. That we all know very well. We quote it. Everybody quotes it. I'm sure even some unbelievers now quote it as well. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everybody quotes it. Just like everybody now say it is well. Even the Buddhists say it is well. Praise God. But I want us to examine this psalm tonight for a few minutes. Just to capture that which you have been talking about. You know, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I know sometimes we do not, in somewhere in our minds, we have not been able to sufficiently grasp this. Verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And just to make it so that we praise God. It said, the world and they that dwell therein. The Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world, this dispensation that everyone is struggling and striving after, and everyone that dwells in it belongs to the Lord. Everything is the Lord's. And I pray that this verse 1 would also settle somewhere in our understanding, not just for this weekend, but living this weekend, The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Says that he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. I will say something quickly because I want to move to some part of this psalm. I'm going to make a reference to something and then I'll come back to it. We all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira were disciples in the early church. And that was a time when everybody were selling, just giving all they had for the gospel, to preach the gospel. And these two, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of land or a piece of property, and they were to bring the proceeds to the disciples. But they decided to keep part of the proceeds behind for themselves. And so they brought maybe the rest, and handed it over. The disciples asked them, "Is this all the proceeds of this land?" And he said, "Yeah, it's everything now." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon the disciples, and they asked him and said, he said something to him which is so relevant. He said, "This property of yours, it's yours. It was yours until you decided to bring it to the church or to the brethren to say, 'I want to, give it for the gospel.' Even when you sold it, the money was still yours. For many years, I have looked at this story until this week when the Lord spoke about it to me. Because when you read the story, for those, I know that a lot of us in this room have read that story, you wonder, why was the judgment so sweet? It was such a judgment that has not happened before in the church. And since that one judgment, I have not read anywhere that such a thing happened again. Yet we know that so many times people come to church and, sometimes even feed, and say things and do things, and nothing happens. But on this one occasion it happened. And then the Lord began to explain to me. Your life, brethren, your life was yours. My life was mine before I gave my life to Christ. It was mine. Nobody forced me to be born again. Nobody put a gun to my head on that day when we knelt down in the presence of the brethren and said, "You must be born again." It was my life. I could do whatever I liked with it. Up until that time, I was doing whatever I liked with my life. It was my life. And then I came to that place and made a vow. I said to God, "I want to give my all. I want to give it all. I surrender all." And after I surrender all, we all got to that place again where we heard the sound of the trumpet. And the Lord said about pressing on beyond Pentecost, pressing on unto the fullness of God. And we said, yes, I want to submit to this. And the Lord begins to ask me this week, so why are you holding back? Why are you holding back? Of my brother, I now decide what aspect of God's calling I want to respond to and what aspect I want to leave to one side. Brethren, our lives is no longer our own. We gave it up, and the Lord paid a price. Lord, to redeem us. And in case we have forgotten, brethren, we all come from families, villages, lineages, societies. But not all those people in those villages, in those societies, are seated here today, hearing the things that you and I are hearing today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ananias and Sapphira, they decided to make a sacrifice to God. And when it mattered most, they held back. I was in a gathering some time back, and a brother stood up and said, well, I don't believe in death itself. I believe in being alive unto God. You know, we are in the driver's seat. Like Ananias and Sapphira, we decide what to give God and what to keep for ourselves. The Lord called Abraham, I think it's Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. He said to Abraham, Genesis, I think it's 12 verse 1. He said to Abraham, he said, now get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. The same word for each one of us. Praise God. Back to Psalm 24. See, this earth is the Lord's. And the Bible says he founded it on the seas and on the rivers. The sea speaks of the systems of men. It speaks of humanity, the government of men, the rule, the order of men. And this, the rivers speak of the ways and manner of human worship, of worship. If you check the meaning of that word river, one of the meaning, you know, it's Euphrates, it's Babylon, it speaks of worship. And for those of us who have studied a bit of human history, even long before, even before the gospel, even before Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ physically came on earth, societies were built on those things. There is human order, human government, and there was something they worshipped. They worshipped idols. What? Okay, is it my own? Okay, sorry. Two things: the rivers and the seas. All of man, this earth, this world, is given to human government and religion. That's what Psalm 2 is saying. That's why if you go to China, there is a way the Chinese govern themselves, and they have their modes of worship. America has their own. Everybody has different, like the Indians have their own. They have their own way of society, and they have their ways they worship. That's why the book of Romans chapter 8 says that creation was subjected in hope to vanity, isn't it? The Lord left this world, even though it is his own. This earth is his own. He left it, founded it, left it in the hands of men's order and men's way of worship. I know some will say, Brother Tokes, I don't agree with you. I know. Look at the next verse. He now asks the question. He says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you, Father God, because we know the entrance of your word is that. And it gives understanding. You see, the Lord is asking us a question. He's asking me a question. Say, I am aware. I'm aware of the system you live in. I'm aware of where you've come out of. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall dwell in his holy place? You see, man, that's why when you meet people around the world, those who evangelize, who share the gospel, everybody will tell you of what they believe. Again, I was in another gathering, and a brother stood up and said, well, you know, before the missionaries came, there was a way our fathers used to worship and all that, so we must recognize that. There is some fact in what it's saying. There was a way that they were worshiping. I read in the papers this week that as far as the 10th century, that there were towns in Nigeria, in some part of Nigeria. They had a government and they had a way of worship. That's 1000 BC. So it's right. And that's where man and creation has come from. But the Lord now asks in Psalm 24, having seen all this, or some will say, well, we are born again now. But you talk to some of the people from the US, they will tell you that in God we trust, and that they believe, you know, in all this gospel and everything. Everybody has a slant. And the Lord now asks, who shall ascend unto the hill of God? And who will stand in his holy place? Again, let us understand, what is the hill of the Lord? What is the holy place? The holy place is the soul. That is why it was said to Daniel. He told Daniel and said, in the last days, at the end of the days, you will stand upon your Lord. Your soul is that Lord, yours, your prized possession. And the Lord is asking, who will ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who will stand upon the holy place of God? It's a question. It's not a commandment. It is a choice, brethren. Are you satisfied with the way you are worshipping? Are you satisfied with the order, the government that you have now? Are you satisfied with it? That's verse 2. Are you okay with it? Or am I asking God that, God, I want to move beyond this? Hallelujah. And the Lord says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy place? When we were in Luton the last time, about a month ago, our brother was sharing about the promised land. And he said, you get into the promised land, that is into Jerusalem, but you still have to ascend the hill, Mount Zion. And the Lord is asking us tonight, who will ascend that hill? And who will stand in holy place? And this is where he comes back to that place of pursuing. Many have convinced themselves that the way and manner they are serving God is fine. They are okay. They are going to heaven and everything is great. Fine. Fine. Praise God. But if you are like me and you see what the Amalekites are doing, and you have received the effort of the Lord, you have received the word of the Lord to say that you should pursue, you should overtake, and you should recover. If you are like me, then you are of that company that is saying that we want to ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and we want to stand upon his holy place. In another place, the high calling. Say that this is the high calling. Why is it the high calling? Because we have to ascend the hill. You remember the story of the Amalekites, which we started with. They are a valley people. And the Lord is saying to a people tonight, are you willing? Are you ready to come out of that valley and ascend onto the hill of the Lord? unwilling to possess my possession. So, because Bible says, every place upon whereon the soles of my feet shall tread has been given unto me. So I want to stand in that holy place. You know, when I stand, or when you stand in something, it's because you have overcome it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And so, it says, who will ascend unto the hill of God? Who will stand in his holy place? See those people in verse 2, who are ruled by the systems of men and by the mindset of men, whose religion is largely as dictated by the doctrines of men. That's what verse 2 is saying. Or is it a people that have said in their heart, this does not look like what Christ called us to. This does not look like what we were, what the blood redeemed us from. And so we want to pursue, we want to overtake, and we want to recover. It says, verse 4, it says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, that has clean hands and a pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, shall receive the blessing from God and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Verse 6, it says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your, thy face, O Jacob. Brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable. It says, the kingdom of God as a woman that had 10 coins. And she lost one of the coins. And she swept the house and sought diligently in the house for it. What? We have asked that question, and I will ask it again. What are you seeking for? Is everything complete, or you know that everything is not quite complete, and there is a burden the Lord has put in your heart to seek him? This is the generation of them that seek you, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Ascend, and who will stand? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. That is the place I want each one of us to begin to meditate on. My heart, my heart. What am I accomplishing with my heart? What am I laboring for? Back to John chapter 6, verse 27. All that I do with my hands just for me to eat and survive. It's all that is in my heart just so that I can get the next car, be promoted to the next job. Or what is in my hands is that I am working, I am chiseling, I am, you know, he says, I pummel myself. So that if after preaching this gospel, I myself don't be a castaway. It says, my heart seeks after, yearns for you. This, I believe, is the question we must ask this weekend. It says, he that has not sworn deceitfully. You know, I preempted that story of Ananias and Sapphira. It is at this point I would have wanted to bring it. A lot
of us say we are born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things have become new. But in our hearts, we know that that's not the case. We follow the traditions of men. We are still ruled by the mindset of this world. Oh, I'm born again. Praise God. All things are passed away. I'm an ambassador for Christ. We are swearing deceitfully. Because I know I'm not, I have no intention of fulfilling that vow that I made. So it's a deceitful vow. That has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. It says, all that is in this world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What is my motivation? What drives me? Or like the people of the world will say, what gives me, takes me out of bed in the morning? And that is the question I want you to meditate as you go tonight. This gospel I was saying earlier on, the do nothing gospel, says you don't need to do anything, everything is done. If God had told David, pursue, overtake, and recover, why did he have to do some things he did in 1 Samuel chapter 10? I mean, he could have just said, like when he met the Egyptian, servant of the Amalekite. You know, that is the story for another day. It's bad enough for somebody to be an Egyptian that time. Then for you to also be the servant of an Amalekite. You know, the best thing would have been to just put a stone on his head. He represents everything that David is fighting against. But like I said, it's a story for another day. He could have said, look, we don't need to pay attention to this guy. He's dying, forget him there. God has given us the kingdom. God has given us the victory. Let's go for it. The entire purpose of God is that we be like Him. That is the entire purpose. And as we work to attain that, we cannot do it unlawfully. We have to do it according to Him who has called us. Ananias and Sapphira, they swore deceitfully. You swear deceitfully when you say that you are an elect, you are a son of God, you are one that is called unto the fullness of God, and you continue to live like a carnal man. I have sworn deceitfully, brethren. I make a vow, I want to join the body of the sons, I want to do all these things, but I have no intention in my heart to attain unto that which God has prepared. It's the furthest thing on my mind. The moment I step out of this hall, I'm back to same old, same old. It is a deceitful vow. It's a deceitful vow. I'm born again. And then, young man, you are born again. And then mommy says you cannot go to a party. You are upset. You cannot, you know, hang out with bad people. You are upset. And you are born again. the parents, you know, sometimes for the adults, the acid test is when there is a social function, whether it's a marriage or a burial, then you know who have made this vow and who have not. And suddenly, people just revert back to same old, same old. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Psalm 49 says, there are two verses in that psalm. In my own little, theology, my own, not, I'm not, you know, one of them refers to when you are preaching to unbelievers. And the other one refers to when you are talking to wee-wee. It says, man that is in honor, that doesn't understand, is as a beast that perishes. But it says also that man that is in honor and abideth not is also as a beast that perishes. If all I am laboring for is for this life, brethren, it's fine. You will attain the best you can be in this life. I'm telling you, that is the word of the Lord. But you will not sit on the throne. If all is motivating you and me is this life, fine. There is no fight. You will not sit on the throne. Because it is pursue, recover, pursue, overtake, and recover. Whatever you are pursuing, you will overtake and you will recover it. Man that is in honor and understandeth not and abideth not. The unbelievers may not understand, but we have understood. But we have to abide. God. He says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face, O Jacob. That song we say, it's your face we are seeking, not your hand. You know, people, when you say that, people think we are either arrogant or presumptuous. When you say, we don't really want the gifts, we want the fruits. We don't really just want we want God. God, give me a car, a house, a job, and all that. The kingdom, O God. Thy kingdom, O God. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and some of his righteousness. Pick and choose the righteousness you want. Or it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all is righteousness. And it's righteousness. Those that will ascend that hill. That's why a lot of people are in, even they've entered the promised land. They are there now. But they are not ascending the hill. Because that is where the protocol or the paradigm becomes different. One of the things that is going on in the church today, one of the key arguments in the church today is, do we do nothing or do we do something? But you see, I say to you, I don't care. It's about your mindset. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not assemble an army. They did not start a union. All they said in their heart, that we will not defile ourselves. They made up their mind. It's a mindset. And that's why the next part of the psalm says, let's go back to that Psalm 24. The next part, as we are reading, says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? It's the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? This one. Who is this King of glory? You are that King of glory. You know why? You are crowned with glory, brethren. Psalm Isaiah 28, isn't it? Isaiah 28. Let's read it now. Isaiah 28. It says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Not the new wine, it's the old wine. The new wine does not overcome, does not mess people up, doesn't lead to drunkenness. It's the old wine. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down the earth in the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley again, Amalekite, shall be the fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he set it off. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. I am crowned with glory. Does that not mean that I am the King of glory? If I have a crown, am I not a king? Isaiah 42. It was out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Isaiah 62, I think. 62. I wrote it somewhere. Isaiah 62, verse 3. Verse 3. Thou shalt be who shall be the crown of glory? Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Let's go back to Psalm 24. It says that Psalm 24.
Don't worry, okay, praise God.
Lift up your head, so you see. You see, and why is he asking who is the King? And in other words, identify yourself. And I'll round up with that. I think, and I believe in my heart that it's about the Lord. When Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, was shut behind them. The gate was put there. Bible says that, I think, seraphims or some angels were put there to guard the way to the tree of life. And all these psalmists say that a people will approach that entrance again. And when they approach, the question will be asked, who are you? But you see, brethren, the Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle, that's the God of gods, the King of kings. He is the Lord. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is the one, Bible says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has won this victory. Let us begin to walk in the victory that he has won. He can only fight for those who are ready to fight. If you are not pursuing, the Lord will not pursue with you. If I sit down in my comfort-filled house, that is why those who know the story of Joshua, that captain of the host, when he asked him, are you for us or are you against us? It depends on where you are going. It depends on what is the intention of my heart. For that king of glory, that Lord that is mighty in battle to fight for me. Lift up your head for you. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, the one that has been crowned with glory. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 had a crown of glory upon her head. That is why she was able to bring forth the man child. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the sower that has gone forth to sow. Thank you because this word shall bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind the activity of the fowls of the air. Speak against the stony places in the name of Jesus. And we prophesy, O God, that every land is good ground, fertile land in the name of Jesus. Brethren, there is a choice we have to make. Either we go with him, or we fall by the wayside. God bless you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Lord, give you peace, brethren. Be gracious to you. Ananias means to the one whom God has been gracious to. That's what Ananias means, brethren. So, many today keep on raising that flag of grace. Have grace. Ananias, it means one whom God is gracious to, yet he held back. May the Lord be gracious to you. May you not hold back from that which you have committed to the Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray for as many as have held back. We ask God that you will forgive us. You will forgive me. You will forgive my brethren. In those areas that we continue to hold back, Father God, we speak a weakness to that hand of flesh. Even as the hand of Jeroboam was withered, so shall that arm of flesh be withered. In the name of Jesus. That we do not hold back the sacrifice of the Lord. Bring a sacrifice of praise.
Some people were approaching, and he said, "He's the Lord of hosts, and we are that host." And he's asking, "Are you available to be part of that host that will approach that sealed gate? Are you willing?" Be part of that host? Are you willing? Thirty years ago, the things that you hear in church most of the time is seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Those were the anthems every Sunday, every Wednesday, every vigil. Seek first the kingdom. And he's asking me, he's asking you, are you seeking that kingdom? What kingdom are you seeking? Hallelujah. Brethren, when they said we need to repent, I am number one. Sometimes you come to church, it's that report that is due on Sunday that is in your head. And you'll be fighting God, that report. I'm fighting God, I want to concentrate. Let me just take my eyes off this report. Mando yemaso kiana manda ya kaya mando saiki rayamdo mo shekele mam. What is my pursuit? What is my pursuit? What am I seeking after? How am I directing my resources, my time, my energy, my interest? That is where my treasure is. Where is my treasure? To be popular, to be known, to have a career. But Ike was sharing recently and was saying, what will it profit a man? Gains the whole world and lost the battle for his soul. After all the fame, out of all the career, hallelujah, amen, amen. Lord, help us. how far we have traveled away from your presence on this issue, my God. Help us to give all, my God, and not to hold back. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.